Good morning, everybody, those in the building and those at home. It's Pentecost Sunday, so our reading is, as Sheila said, Acts 2, starting at verse 1. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now they were staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our native language? Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs. We hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "They've had too much wine." And then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd. "Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So we've been looking for the past few weeks at Jesus' authority. And today we come to look at Jesus' authority in terms of the power of the Holy Spirit. We've looked at how Jesus has authority over evil and Satan, how Jesus has authority to preach and to forgive sins. And now we're looking at how the authority that Jesus has comes through the Holy Spirit, not just to Jesus himself, but to those who follow him. So we're not just looking at something that happened in the past. We are invited to experience, encounter, receive, and be filled with the Holy Spirit for ourselves, each one of us today. And I want to look at three words this morning, each beginning with E. Expectant, experience, and exude. The last one you had to crowbar in a little bit. So we're thinking about being expectant. What does that mean, to expect that we will receive from God? Experiencing the Holy Spirit, how do we do that? And finally, exuding the Holy Spirit. How do we pass on what we receive to those around us, those in our lives? There are lots of pictures and metaphors that help us think about the Holy Spirit. In Scripture, there are three key ones. There's the dove, or the Holy Spirit that comes down when Jesus is baptized, and it says it comes down like a dove. There's the fire and wind, which is something that's described in this morning's reading, and that's obviously, fire and wind are something that's sort of powerful and unpredictable. We're told that it fills the room. And also, connected to wind is also the word breath. This idea that God breathed, that Jesus breathed the Holy Spirit upon the believers. And when we think about the difference that the Holy Spirit makes in our lives, we perhaps can also think of some pictures or metaphors. Maybe if you think about a phone that's running out of battery. I've got a couple of teenagers in my house, and if they get anywhere near low battery on their phone, it's a big deal. It's kind of, you know, anxiety-inducing if you're like 5% on your phone. And maybe the Holy Spirit is like plugging into that power source. When we're feeling empty, it's connecting with God. Or if you think about the picture of a garden that's dry, where nothing's growing, it hasn't had the sun or the rain or the water that's needed in order for it to come to life, to burst to life. And that can be what the Holy Spirit is like. Or on the Alpha course, they use this picture of a pilot light on a boiler. So every Christian has the Holy Spirit. If you believe in Jesus, then the Holy Spirit is within you. But when we are filled with the Holy Spirit, it's a bit like that pilot light gets ignited, and suddenly it's like a whoosh of energy. And certainly on Pentecost Sunday, we see that whoosh of energy from the Holy Spirit, that fire and that wind filling the believers with the Spirit of God. And this brings us to our first word, expectant. In Luke 24, just before Jesus ascends, he says this to his disciples: "I am going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." They are told to stay and wait. And then in Acts chapter 1, as the story sort of continues into Acts, we read this: "On one occasion, while Jesus was eating with them, he gave them this command: 'Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father has promised, which you have heard me speak about.'" Now, most of the disciples were fishermen, so they came from a region called Galilee, which is kind of a rural kind of fishing area. And following Jesus' life, death, resurrection, and ascension, it would have been quite natural for them to go back to their home, where they came from, to go back to their jobs and where they came from. But Jesus has a clear instruction for them. He tells them to stay and pray. Do not leave. He tells them to wait for a gift that is going to come from the Father, something that they have been promised. Now, if we're waiting for something that's been promised, there's a different type of waiting going on, isn't there? If you're waiting for an appointment at the dentist, you might not have a great sense of expectancy or excitement. But if you're waiting for something that is going to clothe you with power from on high, then there's a different sense of waiting. There's a waiting with an expectancy. There's kind of a tingling about it. An expectancy comes through faith. If we believe that God is good and loving and powerful, then we will be expectant. If we believe that God gives good gifts, then we will be expectant. But maybe you feel like that phone that's running out of battery. You've got kind of 3% left, and you're desperate to be plugged in. Or maybe you feel like that garden that's just dry and nothing is growing, and it feels like so long since you've actually felt connected to God, that actually the past year or so you've felt disconnected and it feels like your faith's hardly been there. Or maybe you feel like that pilot light, it's just a little blue flickering flame. Well, I want to encourage you to be expectant, because Jesus has promised that we will be filled with the Holy Spirit. So how can we move from this place of feeling empty to being full? Well, this brings us to our second word, experience. Our reading this morning says this: "Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each one of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them." So they're waiting expectantly, and the Spirit that Jesus has promised comes. Luke is struggling to describe what happened here. He's using all these words. It was kind of like a violent wind. It filled the house. They saw tongues of fire, but it wasn't fire. They weren't actually on fire. They didn't have to get their fire extinguishers out. They were filled with the Holy Spirit. Something was filling them up. And they began speaking in other languages. So there's a lot going on here. And you can see that he's struggling to describe it. They're experiencing the power of the Holy Spirit. God is moving in power on a small group of people who have been waiting expectantly. Now, we cannot contain or fully explain the Holy Spirit. Jesus tells us in John 3 that the wind blows wherever it wants. Just as you can hear the wind but can't tell where it comes from or where it's going, so you can't explain how people are born of the Spirit. In the Christian tradition, we call this mysticism. It doesn't fit into a nice, tidy box. It's not a package that we can just get off the shelf and use. If it was, then it would become an idol. No, it's unpredictable. It's sort of like fire, but also like wind, but it's also like a dove. So it's gentle, but it's powerful. It's so much, we can't get our heads around it. Notice how in this passage from Acts, it says, "What seemed to be tongues of fire separated and came to rest on each of them. In the Old Testament, the fire of God is seen at one place at a time. So we see it in the burning bush, there's the fire. And we see it in the pillar of fire when they're in the wilderness. But here we're told that this fire isn't in one place, that it separates and rests on each of them. That's what Luke is trying to describe, something that is for each of them. The Holy Spirit is given to each believer. It is for each one of us. It's not just for super spiritual people or just the wacky, happy, clappy types. It's not just for vicars. It is for every single believer. It's for all. Our reading this morning makes that really, really clear. In the prophecy, it says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days. The Holy Spirit is poured out on young and old, male and female, rich and poor, all people. This is how we are empowered. And it all starts with love. In Romans, Paul writes this: God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. I'll say that again. God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. We experience God's love through the Holy Spirit. That's what the Holy Spirit is about, enabling us to experience God's love. As we invite the Holy Spirit to fill us this morning, whether you're at home or whether you're here in the building, as we do that this morning, I'm praying that you will feel and know the love of God, not just know it in your head, not just know, oh yeah, I know God loves me, I learned that at Sunday school, or the vicar's always going on about that. I pray that you will feel it, that you will experience it, that God's love will be poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. And this brings us to our third and final word, exude. Great word. We experience and we're filled with the Holy Spirit so that we can exude it, so that we can share it in our lives with those that we encounter in our lives. The power of the Spirit is not just for you, it's not just for the church, it is for the world. And we are in a world that is in desperate need of God's love. Desperate need to know that there is a God who loves them. On the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit filled those believers, and then it spilled out onto the streets. The disciples were speaking in languages that were new to them, but those visiting Jerusalem understood it. So they poured out onto this street with this strange phenomena going on, and it was connecting people together. So this was a reversal that was happening in Babel, if you remember the story of Babel from the Old Testament. At Babel, there is confusion. There is division. People can't understand each other. There was all this confusion and disunity. But here, God is turning that around, and he's bringing people together. People from all over the world are being brought together. The Holy Spirit is bringing unity where there is division. As we experience the Holy Spirit and get filled with the Holy Spirit, so we are sent into the world to exude this spirit of love, healing, and unity. God's love is poured out into our hearts. We get renewed with the love of God for each other. Also, we get sent out into the world, to a hurting and disconnected world. So my son Ted is nearly 7, and he's recently got quite into this little guy, Spider-Man. You might not be able to see him from down there, but this is Spider-Man. Now, Spider-Man begins as just a kind of ordinary kid, but he's bitten by a radioactive spider, you know, which is one of those things that happens. And so suddenly he discovers that he's got all these powers. He can kind of walk up walls and jump off buildings. And he's really excited about this, but there's a famous line from the comics and the films that says this: with great power comes great responsibility. There's that idea that if you've got all these powers, it's not just so that you can do amazing things and show off to your friends. You've got these powers in order to help people, in order to serve the world, in order to do something good. And so it is with the Holy Spirit. We are filled with the Holy Spirit not just so that we can get a nice fuzzy feeling, and so it feels good in church. We're filled with the Holy Spirit because we have a responsibility to go and build the kingdom, to do God's work out in the world. We have the authority that Jesus had. It was poured into Jesus, and Jesus breathed it over the disciples, and he pours it out onto all believers. The power of the Holy Spirit. So that power comes to us as a responsibility. We have to use it wisely and well. Christianity is a participatory sport. We don't just read our Bibles and think, oh, wow, wasn't Jesus amazing all that time ago? And, oh, how amazing it must have been to be alive when the Holy Spirit was at work. We get to participate. Jesus is alive today. The Holy Spirit is available for us today. This maybe sounds exciting. Maybe it sounds a little bit scary. Maybe it sounds hard to believe. Well, on the day of Pentecost, the birthday of the church, we see that people respond in different ways. We read that some people are perplexed. They're thinking, what is going on? Are these people drunk? We find that some are cynical. We also find that some are amazed. And we read later in Acts that what started on this day with this small group of people leads to many, many people becoming baptized, many people joining the church, many people being healed and set free. And now, today, the worldwide church is bigger than ever, bigger than it's ever been. We can't control the Holy Spirit, and neither can we control people's reactions to the work of the Spirit. But what we can do is we can be expectant that God will fill us with the Holy Spirit. We can experience the Holy Spirit for ourselves, within us, within each of us, and we can exude it. We can share God's love with the world. And Jesus says, if you ask, then you will receive. So that's what we're going to do now. We're going to ask God to fill us with his Holy Spirit. I invite you to stand if you're able to. If you're at home, you might want to stand or you might want to stay sat down, whatever. I also invite you, if you'd like to hold out your hands, if that feels something that you'd like to do, because we're going to pray a really simple ancient prayer that simply invites the Holy Spirit to come and to fill us. So let's pray. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, fill us with your power. Lord, we know that we can't fully get our heads round the power of the Spirit, of when the Spirit will come and in what ways. But we don't need to fully understand, because we can trust you. You are the God of love, and you give good gifts to your children. So for those of us who are feeling empty, like that mobile phone that's running out of charge, or feeling dry like that garden that desperately needs watering and desperately needs sunshine, or like that pilot light on the boiler that needs to be ignited, we say, come, Holy Spirit. As the Spirit was moving over the waters, Spirit, come move over us. Come rest on us. And fire and wind, come and do it again. Open up the gates. Let heaven on in. Come rest on us. Come just like in the upper room. You said you would pour out your Spirit. So Lord, come. Pour out your Spirit on us today.